Hi, everyone. It's time for more Turnbuckle Trash. I'm Dave Dutton. Today, I'll be joined by Zane Omack, Zane Peterson, and, of course, Chris on the mat with Chris Evans. A lot of talk about the super letdown and also how super was All Elite's Revolution. It's all coming up. Thanks for joining us today on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
And now in a special edition of Turnbuckle Trash, we go to South Central Utah once again. It's Zane Omack. How you doing, Zane?
That's right, Dave. The Mac Daddy. The Mac Daddy is here with you again. Is it so, Dave, do you think every edition of Turnbuckle Trash is a special edition?
I do, because I get to talk to you.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
I'm also going to hit you up for a loan later. So
yeah. You know, speaking of sweet.
Yes.
How sweet, too sweet, was that to have Vicky on with us, like, last week?
Vicky Guerrero was on. We did a special interview with her, and it's available on our previous podcast. You can check that out if you haven't seen it or heard it yet. It's incredible to find out what's going on in Vicky's life and some of the things. I just thought she was an incredible interview.
You know, Dave, we just as well retire right now. They always say quit while you're ahead. Well, by hell, we caught it. We nailed it with that one, so let's just end the show now.
Yeah, I've been telling people, you know, that aren't professional wrestling fans, they'll say, what's going on with your podcast? I'll say, we had our biggest name ever. I mean, we've had superstar Bill Dundee, we've had Chris Masters, we've had a lot of independents, but Vicky Guerrero, a true superstar. I mean,
true member of the WWE roster, mm-hmm. right there.
Yeah,
and you know, still has a lot to do with him too.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was sweet, man. That was just an awesome interview, and just a nice person. I just couldn't believe how genuine she was and how nice she was.
Yeah. So once again, thanks, Vicky.
Yes, thanks, Vicky. Thank you so much, Dave. Hold on, I gotta change hats here.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. Uncle David? Uncle David, is that you?
That's me, Chris.
What the blueberry hell is going on with Goldberg? You put a golly darn 50-year-old man in the ring and have him beat the Fiend? I mean, there's only two things that WWE's good for: headaches and heartburn.
That's pretty good. Chris is going to kill you, dude.
I know. I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah. Chris and I did a segment, and we called it the Super Letdown. The whole show, and I have to say it one more time, and I want people to understand this about that Saudi show. It's not for us, the regular wrestling fan. It's for the Saudi prince and the royal family. And I think that's why they book the way they do for that. I mean, you had Goldberg coming back and beating the Fiend for the title, which, okay. And I have no problem with that, except that Goldberg's another part-timer.
Yeah.
And then you also had The Undertaker coming back, taking 39 minutes to make it from the entrance ramp to see AJ Styles. But that's what the Saudi prince wants. He's paying for it fine and dandy.
I couldn't imagine what they'd pay somebody like The Undertaker and Goldberg to come back for something like that.
You know,
I mean, it's got to be a fortune, right?
Oh, you know, especially knowing about Bill Goldberg and not being, how do I put it? He's not necessarily a guy that lives to be in the ring. He never has been. He's always enjoyed it. He's always put on good shows, but he can live without it. But, man, if you get a big payday, go for it, Bill. Go for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he still looks great.
Oh, he does.
Is he 52 or something?
Yeah, and he's got a great physique. He can still move in the ring. He did botch that jackhammer. It wasn't extremely well done.
What the heck is he doing that for?
I don't know. I have
Why even try it, then? Why even try it? Why not just do the spear and call it?
Yeah. But, hey, I'm going to complain here. I don't like the spear. I mean, how many people are using the spear now as their final move?
Well, Dave, that's just because it's so deadly.
It's football. It's not wrestling.
What? Dave.
It's not wrestling.
Roman, you know what? You're right, Dave. I prefer the gore much more over the spear.
Yeah, the gore. Let's give it the gore instead of the spear. That was good, dude. Gore!
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 Yes, yes. Yeah. I prefer that move. Hand over fist better than spear.
Yeah. And you know, another thing that might be being overused a little bit is the amount of Wachobi shots.
He just got him in the ding ding.
Being around the professional wrestling ranks at AEW, there were at least four on Saturday night that I know of, and all guys, you know, when you start talking about getting hit in that area, it hurts, dude. You know,
and
all guys will just kind of cringe. But is it overused? That's personal opinion.
Did Nyla Rose get kicked in the balls?
I think she's had them surgically removed.
Oh okay. Sorry for the ignorant comment. Just trying to make light of things.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, back to the super letdown in Saudi Arabia. The show itself was average, to say the best. The gauntlet match was fun. They started off with R-Truth in the ring, and he won, with a strange way to win. And then he moves on. He beats Andrade, another strange way to win. And he gets another win. So he's halfway through the gauntlet. AJ Styles comes in, and AJ Styles takes advantage of him being beat up, and he wins the next match. And that's when they brought in the Undertaker thing. I thought the gauntlet match was fun. And I complain about The Undertaker, but I'm not going to complain too much. It was a fun match. And then the other really good match of the evening, I don't know if you saw this or heard about it, was the women's match with Bayley and Naomi. Dang, really good match. It was fun.
I'm telling you, dude, I it would not surprise me if you'll start seeing, I mean, we're already seeing more and more, but I would speculate we'll start seeing more and more headlining women's pay-per-views and things like that.
I have no problem
They're
with
too
that.
Good. They're too good. They are, dude, there is the athleticism behind somebody like Charlotte Flair.
Uh-huh.
She's tall. She's gorgeous. She's athletic. She's strong. It's unreal to see, you know, the moonsaults and the things that she can do. And, you know, then you get somebody that, like Becky Lynch, that's a little bit shorter, fast as could be, and can really hit the mat real well, mm-hmm. and pull off those submission maneuvers. And, I mean, they're good, man. They are so good.
Well, at WrestleMania, there's going to be two women's matches at least. Two women's matches that I'm really looking forward to. Charlotte Flair against the NXT champion Rhea Ripley, who is a beast and can really go in the ring. And I think she's very attractive myself. I mean, she's got short hair and everything. She's fine.
Yeah, oh yeah. And dude, I think that's a great booking right there by the WWE. That's a Chris called that one out, so he gets to gloat. Yeah. Oh, Chris, yay.
Yay, Chris. And then you have the Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler match that's probably going to happen after Elimination Chamber. Did you see that Becky Lynch situation with Shayna Baszler?
The blood? Tell me about the blood, Dave.
Well, they had Baszler attack her and then bite her on the back of the neck. And Baszler, you know, comes up, and she has kind of a pasty look anyway. And they had, I don't want to say fake blood because I don't know. But, you know, her mouth was all red and bloody, and Becky was going crazy. But you know what? Shayna Baszler can go. I mean, you got it. And she is one of those that can do more than one move. She can go. She can do mat wrestling. She can do submission wrestling. She can fight because she has that MMA background. I've seen her in matches that were as good a wrestling match as I've ever seen.
Yeah. So, thinking about that, what are your thoughts on NXT kind of now becoming? It's not really even a farming grounds or a step stone anymore. It's just another, because we've got people like Shayna Baszler taking on main roster people. We've got Rhea Ripley, NXT UK former NXT UK Women's Champion. And I guess, so is NXT not a tryout league or, a place to hone your skills anymore?
I think it is to a point, but with the moves they made back in October when NXT went onto the USA Network and went live for 2 hours, it became more of a third brand. And I'm going to say this right now. I'm so tired of social media every week putting up the numbers between All Elite and NXT.
Oh, yeah. Who cares?
Who gives a flying you-know-what about that?
I was going to text you back the day when you said the AEW pay-per-view was good. And I was going to say, yeah, Dave, well, the ratings say different.
the
Wednesday Night Wars. The Wednesday Night Wars.
Oh, give me a break.
It's not a war. AEW even said it's not a war.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't care. They're like, we're here to entertain, have fun, and do wrestling. We don't give a crap what the WWE does.
And I
think that they've showed that.
Yeah. And, I don't know if it's the same way in every market. Okay, I don't know. But here in Logan, Utah, the Intermountain West, I get a feed at 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights. That is the feed for All Elite Wrestling, and my feed for NXT doesn't begin until 9. So if I didn't have an early morning job, I could watch both on the same night, but I usually wind up watching All Elite and then watching NXT the next day on DVR. And besides NWA Power, if there was no other wrestling product out there, I'd be happy, because I really like all three of that product. And the rating to me doesn't mean a lot. We've already gotten they've already signed for a second year for TNT. They're adding another program soon. NXT, their ratings are a little bit less, but it's still solid. It's not bad. And people want to make it more than it is. And do they sell product? Do they make money for the network? That's the most important thing.
Yeah, the advertisers, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
That's what people don't understand, and that's why I've always thought your background in media brings a lot more attention to these things than a typical fan.
Yeah.
Because you look at it from a larger perspective of...
Yeah. And then, when you start thinking of the quote Wednesday Night Wars, if AEW was getting a million more people watching than NXT, I would probably be worried for NXT. But it's like 80, 90,000 over the space of the United States of America and all the people watching TV. That is nothing. Nothing. It's very... The percentage is just so small over that kind of numbers. And people just don't understand that they're trying to get a winner and a loser. And just stop it.
I honestly, I can't even look at that AEW page on Facebook anymore. It makes me want to kick babies every time. I can't believe the comments from fans and the arguments from fans and the ludicrous things that people say on there. It's like, shut up and just watch wrestling.
Yeah. And yeah,
everybody's got an opinion and they all stink.
I think what happens, to be honest with you, and I put it on one of the posted yesterday from All Elite where somebody was making this asinine comment. And I said, man, you are a big troll, aren't you? Trying to get people's comments. And he wrote back, troll? What do you mean? And I just left it at that. And I want people to realize that there are people on social media that have no life, and all they are, you know, they want to get some kind of argument going between
reaction.
That's all they're looking for because they have no life. They're probably sitting in their underwear in their parents' basement eating Hot Pockets and eating ice cream on the side while playing on the computer.
Oh, no, they play Xbox nowadays.
Oh, yeah, Xbox, yeah.
Come on, get with the times.
Yeah, they won't even watch Netflix or Hulu or anything. So,
You know, I listened to an audiobook the other day. It was called Triggered by Donald Trump Jr. Very good book, by the way. But he talks in there about social media while we're on this topic. Kind of an offshoot, but we'll bring it back. He talks about social media and how when you read the comments in social media is designed to spark anger in your mind, because anger gets more of a reaction and gets you saying things that you normally wouldn't say than positive things. And so when you come out with a post that pisses people off, you're going to get more likes or more comments or more, for example, the other day I posted there was a fellow down in Richfield that was selling Donald Trump merchandise, T-shirts, hats. So I took a picture of it and posted it on Facebook, and I said, hey, go if anybody's interested in Trump gear, go check this guy out. And within that night, I had – it ended up being like over 80 something comments and over 300 likes. And it was just because that post was something that got people's attention, that a lot of people are pissed about Trump, or a lot of people, you know, that it was just an interesting way of thinking about it. And think about it from a wrestling fan's perspective and from this AEW site and some of these other ones, like Chris has been in arguments with people. They say something stupid and asinine, and it gets people commenting back saying, oh, Bret Hart's the best. No, he's not. Shawn Michaels is the best. Shut up, loser. F you. Okay, well, that was real. That was a great thread.
Oh, I know, man. It's so asinine, so terrible. But I'm going to praise the All Elite page for one thing, okay? And Chris and I talked about it, but I don't know if you know about this. You know when I got my AEW shirt a few weeks ago, the one with the rat mask wrestler on there?
Yeah.
I took a picture of that, and I was going to place it on the page because I wanted to support AEW.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking that was the first picture I had made after my neck surgery. And it was the first picture I had made without my neck brace on. And so I mentioned that, by the way, this is the first picture I had since my neck fusion surgery back in December without my neck brace. I had over 200 comments wishing me well, plus almost 1,300 likes on that one picture. So
that's cool.
Thank you, guys. I'll complain about you, but when you do something cool, I'll thank you too.
Praise them if they're good, right?
Yes,
Dave?
That's exactly right.
And crack open a Steve Weiser. My name is Chris.
I'll crack open a Diet Dew, by the way. So
tell me more. You texted me several times during the AEW pay per view. What was your? Tell me why. Why was it a good pay-per-view? I'll lay out some reasons for you. Was it a good pay-per-view because it was different? Was it a good pay-per-view because of the wrestling? Was it a good pay-per-view because of the entertainment, the storylines? What made it a different pay-per-view and also an excellent pay-per-view in your opinion?
Okay, storylines. The setup to the storylines. And I'll give you a perfect example, and it does have nothing to do with Jon Moxley. Here's the storyline. The storyline goes the Young Bucks taking on Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page. And if you follow AEW, you know they've had this thing going on with the Hangman and how he doesn't want to be part of the Elite, the group of the four of them that they formed over in New Japan, that he no longer wants to be part of that. And he's been drinking a little bit, and the Young Bucks, evidently, as far as I can tell, they don't imbibe in alcoholic beverages. And they throughout the weeks, they've made some comments about Adam with his drinking causing problems. And then when Adam and Kenny won the belts, and then the Young Bucks won the championship opportunity, there's been a lot of friction. That's called setting up the storyline, right? We've talked about this with the WWE. Then inside the ring, they were telling the storyline as the friction between Adam Page and the Young Bucks, and to a point, Kenny Omega kind of grew and grew. Then there was something that happened that I was not expecting, but it was complete storyline. It was Matt Jackson evidently trying to lose it in the ring, and I'm not so certain that we've all been expecting Hangman Adam Page to have the heel turn. I'm thinking it's going to be the Young Bucks now because of the way the crowd reacted to the Bucks and the way they reacted to Matt Jackson. I just wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see that happen. And it was storyline after storyline, SCU against the Lucha Bros in the pre-show, excellent match, one good match after another. The Nyla Rose Statlander match was okay. It was probably the weakest match of the night, but it was okay. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of Nyla Rose, and we won't get into that. But the tag team match, and then every match that they had, the Cody Rhodes against MJF, with the storyline, the setup, the build-up, and then the pay-per-view had that oomph to it. Jack Hager and Cody Rhodes, the storyline build-up. That's something the WWE does very poorly. And when they do it, they don't let it end properly. And we go back to Chris Jericho and Jon Moxley. With Moxley, you know, supposedly was blinded in that one eye, been wearing that patch, and Jericho attacks his, quote, good eye, and he couldn't see, and he reels him in, pulls off the patch, and then gets the victory, and he's the champion. It was just fun. It was good storytelling, but I'll tell you this, not necessarily just in the ring, it was the build-up, the setup, and that's something the WWE, I don't think they understand anymore.
So, do you feel like the WWE has gotten? I mean, I know we. I'm sure that it's a yes, but the WWE has gotten to where. I mean, I know for a fact that they have those great big creative teams, and they sit around the table and they bounce ideas off of each other, and Jon Moxley has always talked about the WWE being too scripted. So in something like this with the AEW pay-per-view, did you feel like it was scripted? Did the talent seem to have a little more leeway in what they were saying?
I think the talent has more leeway in that, because I don't think that they have writers. I think that they all get together and write up what they're going to do. I think the one problem with the WWE with that is they're so willing to do something and then just drop it and not have an ending to it. You know, they just drop it. I'll tell you this right now. The 24/7 champion on WWE, he just went against Ricochet on Monday Night Raw and beat Ricochet, and he's an NXT guy. And the crowd was shouting, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are?" And I don't remember seeing him on NXT. And where was Mojo Riley, who he screwed over for the title? It's like they forget that there's got to be an ending to a story, even if that story goes short. You know, they decide to drop it. They need to end the storyline.
Well, they've talked about that a lot on the Busted Open podcast and Busted Open Radio with Bully Ray and Dave LaGreca, how, like, we'll just – some of the storylines will just stop.
Yeah.
There's been so many of them over the years, it's hard to even say. And
Maria Kanellis and her husband.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting.
They just dropped it. It wasn't – there was no ending. And it was a stupid storyline, don't get me wrong, but they could have done something with her pregnancy, supposedly, that could have ended the storyline. They could have found a way to end it.
Remember Awesome Kong?
Yes.
When she just comes down to the ring, gets the microphone, drops it, and starts crying, and then she's never been back?
Uh-huh.
That was like, what was that for? Why is she crying? I don't get it.
That was that backstage story that she had to quit because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And they never addressed that. They just
– they never wrote her off television.
No, they didn't.
It was just like she comes out and they made a fool of her and she
– Yeah, that was with Leigh Cool, wasn't it? Michelle Leigh Cool and –
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember, Dave. It's been a few years. I slept a few nights since.
We'll have more with Zane Peterson coming up, but it's time to take a little bit of Southern hospitality break. From North Carolina, we'll be joined by Chris Evans next on The Trash.
It's Chris on the match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris.
On the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
Now joining me on the phone from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, he is the man with the plan, and he didn't like the super
letdown.
Oh, it was not great, was it? Hi, Chris, by the way, Christopher Evans.
Oh, it's a beautiful day here in Winston-Salem. The wind is blowing, and ATM is going to have the house floating around. But no, the super letdown, it was a super letdown. We had Goldberg. Oh, good Lord. And then we had the Underflaker. I mean, I don't understand why they say this was a good show. It wasn't. It was stupid. It was overhyped. On a scale of 1 to 10, what did you give it? I gave it a 0. I gave on a scale of 0 to 10, 0.
Well, okay.
That's it.
I kind of enjoyed the gauntlet match.
I
even with the ending with the Undertaker, I thought it was enjoyable. I loved the way they wrote R-Truth in the first three rounds of the gauntlet match.
Uh-huh.
And I loved the way they used Rey Mysterio and the OC to bring in the Undertaker. I liked that match. I thought it was fun. I mean, I know the Undertaker, he's out there with this. Now, what do they call that trophy? The mountain thing?
I don't know. I thought it was something like the Fortress of Solitude, the crystals to keep Superman from dying. I don't know what it was.
Well, it was a mountain supposedly in Saudi Arabia. Uh-huh. And they kept, and you know, they get copy points. The announcers do.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, something that I do, and I understand that. But every time they mentioned that trophy, they were saying the prestigious. And why is it prestigious? It was the first time they ever awarded it. You can't be prestigious with the first time.
Well, I would say something about that, but I'm going to be politically correct here. I was going to say something that maybe Allah grabbed it, a hold of it, stuck it up his rear end. Who knows?
Hey, and by the way, yes. I'm going to say this about the show, okay? And I meant to put this on Turnbuckle Trash and all the Real Wrestling Facebook page too, but I just neglected to do it. So I'm going to say it right here. We need to remember about the super letdown that they've only had one show from Saudi Arabia that was decent. And
yes,
why is that, Chris? Why do you think that the super, all the stuff they do in Saudi Arabia is
money.
Super? And why is it money?
Because of the Saudi prince.
Exactly. This show is booked not to please wrestling fans here in the good old United States, Canada, Mexico, and the Western Hemisphere. That show is booked to please the Saudi prince. That's why you get the Undertaker. That's why you get Bill Goldberg. Every show that they've done over there has brought back some old-time wrestlers. I still love Bill Goldberg. I still love The Undertaker, but it's time for them to hang it up as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, the Saudi prince asked for Rowdy Roddy Piper in The Ultimate Warrior. You want to dig them up? They were dead. He was asking for Rowdy Roddy Piper in The Ultimate Warrior, and he was asking for someone else who is dead. And I think they told him, they go, it's going to be kind of hard. You know, he's... unless we find the way to put him in, you know, some, you know, revive him somehow. I don't know how they're going to do it. I think Roddy Piper was cremated. So unless they want to spread his ashes or make him into like a Nesquik thing and have someone drinking. No, I don't like it. I don't like the super letdown. It was boring. Some of the matches were good. I didn't like the one with Brock Lesnar and Ricochet. I thought that was a joke.
It was.
It was a joke. We all knew that wasn't going to happen, but you know, it would have been nice to give this kid the world title just one time, because we know good and well he'll never touch that belt.
You know, I don't even care that he didn't get the belt. I am just so tired of this Brock Lesnar storyline,
yes,
of the squash matches. Squash match. Now, Monday Night Raw, before they went to the Super Letdown show, Paul Heyman made the comment, I'm not sure whether a lot of people really caught it or not. He made it in the ring where he said, it's going to be a revenge to the uppercut.
Brock Lesnar didn't just survive against 15 of the top stars in WWE. Brock Lesnar massacred 15 consecutive top stars in World Wrestling Entertainment, only to get hit from behind in the testicles by Ricochet, which left Brock Lesnar vulnerable.
You have been kicked in the testicles. Oh.
To Drew McIntyre, Claymore kicking Brock Lesnar flush in the face, knocking Brock Lesnar over the top rope.
This is the belt line. You never, ever hit below that. You...
Lift yourself open.
And that was in direct reference to the Ricochet shot to the Wachobies when he hit Brock Lesnar right before Drew McIntyre knocked him out of the ring. So, I mean, I can't remember if a lot of people really remembered that, but that's what that was. But I am so tired that they can't let a talent at least get some moves in. I don't mind that it's basically a squash match, but Ricochet is good enough, he's popular enough to have him have at least a little bit of offense to have the announcer say, oh, Brock Lesnar has trouble with the smaller wrestlers. But no,
yeah, I mean,
it was squash time.
Yeah, but to Brock Lesnar, Ricochet is like a chew toy to a Doberman pincher. So literally it was a squash match. It sucked. It wasn't good. Nobody liked it. We didn't want it. But it's too late now. They have their money, and that's just the way it goes.
You know, that's the only kind of squash I like. You know that, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Is
fried.
Not fried. No. I prefer zucchini bread. Huh?
Oh.
Huh?
No, okay,
zucchini
that's
squash?
Another. Yeah.
But,
I'm...
No, nobody said all the jokes had to be funny.
Of course. Well,
yeah,
that's a good one, though, but I liked it.
And the Mansoor match with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that was one I was going, okay, here's what's going to happen. It was so obvious because he's won every time over there. And that's fine. The people, they need a hero, and they have Mansoor. And he's a fine wrestler. He just never shows up on NXT, and I don't understand why.
Well, I don't know. He's an okay, but with Dolph Ziggler, we all knew it was going to happen. But this guy, I mean, I don't even know his career, and I mean, but everybody in the Saudi over there, they love this guy. What's up in their sand? He's a hometown man.
And then the biggest letdown in the Super Letdown. And as much as I love Bill Goldberg, oh man, it was bad.
Why? That's why I put it on their Facebook page. Why build up a character so well and then let him get buried by a old timer in wrestling? Makes no sense.
Because Roman Reigns and John Cena. That's why.
Yeah. Yep.
Roman Reigns, they were wanting to book him for WrestleMania for the championship against somebody.
Again.
And they didn't think that the Fiend was strong enough for him. And he would have been fine. They could have really done a great build up. I mean,
with
the Fiend and Roman, they could have done a fantastic build up to that.
Oh, yeah.
But no. And now they've done this with the Fiend. And you can't see me, John Cena. And I'm excited to have John back, but come on.
Yeah, but their ratings jumped. When John Cena came back, their ratings on SmackDown jumped up.
That's fine.
Yes, it was.
You know what?
Don't care to see John Cena and The Fiend. don't care for it. Mr. Rogers meets Mr. You know, so go ahead.
Yeah. Hi.
Blues Clues meets Mr. Rogers. So go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I just, you know, once you, you know, you look at it and you kind of understand why, you kind of understand it, but I think they missed the boat. Even with Bill Goldberg, if it had been just a great match with lots of stuff going on, and then Bray Wyatt somehow getting that claw on him at the last minute or escaping that jackhammer, which was botched, by the way, and then doing something, maybe reaching, getting outside of the ring and popping Goldberg with, what's that rabbit's name? One of the puppets?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Something like that would have set it up, and they could have had Goldberg going back with Bray Wyatt through the Elimination Chamber. But give me a break. And I love Bill Goldberg. He's one of my favorite all-time wrestlers. I'm just not real happy with the way they booked this.
I don't blame you a bit. I mean, I'm to the point with the WWE. They act like my shoulder and my fingers when I have my gout sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's a pain in the rear end, and I don't want to mess with it no more, and the doctor can't even help me. I can't stand WWE's booking anymore. It's about as useless as Vince Russo. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? Sorry.
Come on now.
Sorry, Devotional. Oh, Devotional. I'm sorry. Sorry, Devotion.
Yeah.
Sorry, Devotion. No,
now, okay, we'll tell people that Vince, when he made the announcement about Devotion Championship Wrestling, getting their TV contract for the CW30 in Salt Lake City, which they start this Saturday at 11:30 with the program. Yeah. And then I think at 1 o'clock on Sunday mornings, they'll repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Russo called it devotional championship wrestling. And, you know, I when I'm watching, I'm going, oh. But that's okay because I love
it's the guys.
Right. I love the guys at Devotion. I mean, Tombstone, the brothers Smith, Manny Lemons, Rika. I mean, even Josh Glade, I think he's – I mean, they have some real talent there. And they're having a show Saturday night, and I'm hopefully going to be going to it because Marlon Bishop's going to be there, and he is a beast. I mean – from Rocky Mountain Pro, I think, out of Colorado Springs. And then Bruce Wayans, who I'm friends with on Facebook, he's a fellow Batman fanatic like me. They're going to be there, and they're going to bring in some great talent from Colorado. Vince is supposed to be there, and hopefully I'll be able to meet Vince and report back. So well, I know you're not a Russo fan. So
No, Russo. Okay, look, I'm not trying to disrespect anybody from Devotion Championship Wrestling. Guys, y'all do a heck of a job. I'm a Tombstone Jesus fan. I love that guy. But my problem is you're letting a man that came in that ruined two organizations. And if he's changed his ways, I hope he has. But I just... I did my research. I've done my homework that the doctor gave me. I somewhat agree with you about the situations that are going on with Vince Russo.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some things I just can't get away from. I mean, he killed Owen Hart.
Yeah.
And, he killed Owen Hart.
And then the situation with, who's the actor? I want to say Tom Arnold, but it wasn't him.
You mean David Arquette? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. And I'll be up front, you know, Vince, if we get to meet and our chance, you know, we meet and we start talking, I would tell you to your face that I wasn't a fan of that. I'd also tell you to your face that I think some of the stuff that has been said about you is overblown and over-exaggerated, and I will give him the benefit of the doubt. And mainly because, and once again, you and I have discussed this, I talked to a talent, and I will not give this person's name. I had probably a 45-minute discussion with him on the phone, and he was telling me things about Vince Russo that really surprised me. And it wasn't anything about storylines. It wasn't anything like that. It was how he was helpful with the guys who are still training and trying to become what they want to become.
Mm-hmm.
Great advice, some tips on storylines and more. And I was impressed, and I kind of changed my thinking about Vince Russo when I had a conversation with this talent. Once again, I'll have this person remain nameless. So
That's understandable. Yeah. Yes.
And I'll be right up front with Vince Russo. I'm going to try to get him on to the podcast sometime. And I'm not going to mince words with him. I'm going to tell him not to mince words with me. And I'm not going to say anything about Jim Cornette. I don't want to know. No,
tell him Jim said hello. No.
But no, I started realizing when this happened that sometimes in any form of entertainment, memories are different and perspective about what happened is always different. There's, you know, the old thing, two sides to every story. But yes. I didn't like what he did with WCW, didn't like some of the booking. I didn't like what he did with TNA, some of that stuff.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I understand why you say what you do, but I have some newfound respect for Vince Russo, and hopefully I'll get to meet him Saturday night at Devotion Championship Wrestling.
I respect your views and your comments and what you're saying about the man. And you have your views, I have mine. We all do. That's why we can respect each other on Turnbuckle Trash and we have a good time with this. But my saying is this, if I was to meet the man, I'd shake his hand and say, congratulations, you're not in prison. And walk away from
him. Oh, jeez.
You're not in prison.
Oh, jeez. Wait a minute, I'll tell you what.
Let me rephrase that. Congratulations. Jim Cornette's not in prison.
That's the one right there. Yeah. Jim Cornette's not in prison.
But Jim always said that he's going to live longer than Vince Russo so he can stand up and pee on his grave.
That's right. I heard him say one time, Jim said he told his wife that he was going to live long enough, and even if he was in a wheelchair, take that motorized wheelchair, take it to the cemetery, prop him up so he could pee on his grave. Oh, Jimmy,
I have never seen so much hate for one man. But Jim Cornette, we've always got you in our thoughts on this podcast. It's great. But congratulations to Devotion Championship Wrestling to having your TV deal. Congratulations, guys. Y'all deserve it.
Yeah, honestly, they deserve it. Manny Lemons is the champion right now and a great guy. Works behind the scenes doing the promotion. And, yeah, I mean, just some really good people that want to entertain you. And I can't wait to go down and see the guys. I hopefully will on Saturday night. It all depends on, you know me. I've got all these health issues going on right now. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, maybe you can do ringside. You can do the commentary ringside one of these days. You never know.
That would be kind of fun. I know that there is the possibility I might be doing some things with them in the future. I don't know what that be, but.
We'll start calling you the second coming of Gorilla Monsoon.
That's right. But, hey, yes. You said that. By the way, I want to give a shout-out to, and I hope I get his name right, Kevin Solorenzo. He started a new podcast. He calls it Kevin's Pro Wrestling Show, and it's available on YouTube. And you might want to check that out. It's a new podcast.
Nice.
And this is only his second episode. Really nice guy. We've been IMing a little bit here and there. He was asking me if I was going to be at the All Elite show coming up. And I told him I had to change my plans. But hopefully, I said something about Devotion this Saturday. He's never been to a Devotion show. So I'm hoping he'll show up at Devotion Championship Wrestling soon. So
sounds like fun.
Yeah.
All right.
And a shout out to UCW Zero. They are moving to a new location soon in Salt Lake City. I don't know exactly where that is yet, but they're abandoning their little small arena to get a little bit bigger. So Utah Pro Wrestling has a lot of stuff going on. So,
well, I'm gonna try to get a hold of the one that's coming, ALW Wrestling here in Winston. It's going to be in Hickory. Haven't gotten contact. I got in contact with them. They haven't said a word to me back. I'm going to try some more, but I will try to go to the show.
Yeah.
There's going to be some action. I'm going to love watching these guys.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. And then, there's a man that listened to our podcast with Vicky Guerrero. His name is John Wagner. And John is actually a performer in Florida.
Oh, wow.
And he has sent some things to us, and we appreciate him. He actually, for Atomic Revolutionary Wrestling, and they recently had a show with the Sandman from ECW, and it was very controversial.
Oh, I heard what happened.
Yeah, evidently he botched the ending.
Yep.
And then I watched the video. Sandman just blabbered on in the ring for a while.
Yep, he was drunk.
And evidently backstage there's some accusations of inappropriate conduct with some of the female competitors.
Not surprised.
Yeah. Not surprised. Not me either. But I wanted to give a shout out to John and welcome him to our Turnbuckle Trash. And hopefully I'll get John on the podcast with us, or maybe the promoter for Atomic, and we can talk about some things there. I would love to have some independents, some more independents on, and hopefully from Florida. That would be kind of cool, so.
Oh, that would be really nice to do right there. I like that.
So Chris, Saturday night, we had another pay-per-view that was from All Elite Wrestling. Wow. It was incredible. I mean, incredible.
Oh,
it was awesome.
It was good. It was really good. Very shocking. The only matches I didn't really like was the IT match. And if I offend someone about that, I'm very sorry. No, I'm not.
No, there's no need to be sorry. It's your opinion.
Yeah, it's my opinion. And the It match, it didn't really surprise me, and it didn't really, you know, do anything for me. But the rest of the matches, that's good. It was good.
The tag team championship match with Kenny Omega and the Hangman of Adam Page.
Adam Page.
With the Young Bucks.
Yep.
Wow. One of the best tag matches I've seen in a long time. I've seen people say, the best tag match of all time. I'm not going to go there. I'll say it was dang good. One of the best I've ever seen. Really, really good.
Hangman, Adam Page, and Kenny Omega with the cleaner. Yeah, those two, they work very well together. Very good, crisp moves. The Young Bucks, well, the old Bucks. they're not young anymore. They're losing their hair. Rogaine people, thank you. No, it was all right. I mean, it was a good match. Back and forth, high flying, and these guys, they put their bodies on the line. Congratulations, All Elite. Y'all did a heck of a pay-per-view.
Man.
Love to see what the buys were.
Yeah, I would too. I haven't seen what the buys were as of yet, but I know I was hesitating whether I wanted to pop that $60 down.
No.
My wife looked at him. She says, you want to see it so bad? I said, yes. She says, let's go ahead and get it. So I said, okay. You know, because money's tight right now with all the medical issues I've had to do with.
Of course. And
she watched it with me. Now, she didn't like when they did the blood. She didn't like that very much. But she even said it was very entertaining. She's glad she watched it. It was awesome. And
going back
to the Young Bucks and Paige and Omega, everyone is sitting there saying that, you know, Paige is going to go heel. I'm not so sure about that.
I don't see it.
Because the way this match went, Matt Jackson was losing it. And the crowd was booing the Young Bucks. When was the last time you heard a crowd boo the Young Bucks?
It's been a while. It's been some time since they've been, you know, booing the Young Bucks. But it's about time the Young Bucks turn heel. I think I'd like to see the Young Bucks turn heel.
I would, too. And, I would love it. Go ahead.
I think they'd be better as a heel team than they'd be better as a babyface. You know, turn on Cody. Turn on Cody. Heck, everybody else has.
Yeah,
let the Bucks do it.
Yeah, join up with MJF and Wardlow.
Yes.
You know, get a little faction thing going on there. I would like it. And
the MJ faction. Yeah, there you go. The MJF faction. The MJ Bucks. There you go.
Yeah.
We need to start working for AEW.
Yeah, but I was watching that match, and I even mentioned to my wife, I said, they're booing Matt Jackson. So I just wouldn't be surprised. And of course, this week they're going to be in Denver. And then on the 11th in my backyard, of Salt Lake City, a lot of friends in the Salt Lake area, a lot of performers that I know down there will be going to it, and I hope they have a great time. So going to be interesting to see what happens with that. And then you have a brand new All Elite champion in John Moxley.
Yes. Oh, my Lord. Yes, it's about time. The belt looks good on him, but I'm not surprised that they took the belt off of Chris Jericho. But AEW, please do me a favor. Take the little writing off the page that says the youngest champion ever. He's the only youngest champion you ever had. Are you serious?
I haven't seen that.
It says youngest champion ever. You're the only youngest champion you've got.
Oh, you've had two.
You've had two.
I love Are that. You,
I felt like Homer Simpson going into the walking backwards into the bushes when I saw that. I was like, yeah, okay.
I haven't seen that. That makes me laugh.
I love it.
That is hilarious.
That is. But I have a bone to pick with you, sir. A big bone to pick with you.
With me?
Yes, sir.
Why?
You like freshly squeezed?
Honestly? I have seen the light with freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy.
The pastor has turned heel, ladies and gentlemen. The reverend has turned heel. No, I'm joking.
If you've listened to this podcast in the past, Chris and I have been very critical of Orange Cassidy.
Yes.
All right? And I put me in there, okay?
Yep.
But the match he had with Pac showed that this young man has the chops, and he's found a gimmick that the crowd is eating up. The pop that young man got during that match, before his introduction and everything, the crowd was just going bananas for Orange Cassidy. And when Pac got the upper hand during one part of the match, the crowd started screaming, "No more pulp! No more pulp!"
Oh my God!
Oh, so it had elements of humor, which you're not a big comedy wrestling fan. Go ahead.
Yeah, the only people that like the comedy is the one that's not on the show right now. Sorry, Zane, but I still will have to do another promo on you one of these days. Go ahead.
But yes, I enjoy some of the comedy, and this had comic elements. And then he was jumping all over that ring, a lot of times with his hands in his pockets, going through the ropes, jumping over Pac, and doing a roll with his hands still in his pocket, and popping up and making a move.
Yeah.
And it shows that he knows what he's doing, and he did it very well. There's a great picture of him laying on the mat, Orange Cassidy, and he's real close to the ropes, and Pac is right outside of the ropes, and Cassidy has the biggest grin on his face. And it's hilarious. And if you get a chance to watch the match, just watch the match and see the ebb and flow, how good he did, and how both of them put their bodies on the line. They were both scarred up, bruised up. It was, it really was a fun match. And I am now, friends, I am now a freshly squeezed.
Excuse me while I go to the porcelain gods real quick. But I do have to give, I do not want to be, you know, very, Orange Cassidy's fine. That's great. He's a good wrestler, no problem. My question is, AEW just signed a new wrestler.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I know where you're going with this.
Oh, I know. You know where I'm going with this.
I know where you're going with this.
When he stepped out, I just about lost my lunch, my breakfast, my dinner, and my coffee. Why in God's name is why is Colt Cabana in AEW? Why is Colt Cabana here?
You are no longer a Colt Cabana fan.
Nope.
And I understand why. Because what he did, I thought was a slap in the face to all wrestling.
Sure.
He probably thought it was funny, and he might have got caught up in the moment with, Joey, what's Joey's last name?
Joey Ryan.
Kissing Joey Ryan.
Genitalia, yes, yeah.
And my whole problem with that is, what if Colt had done that to one of the lady wrestlers?
That's true.
And that was my big problem with that. So,
but now that leads a big hole in the gap of the NWA. Is he still going to be with the NWA?
Evidently not, from what I understand.
Okay. Well,
Colt
Cabana, congratulations. You got your money.
So let's switch off for All Elite. And, you know, I just love the thing. I'm going to ask you about NWA Power. What's going on with NWA Power?
Well, I hate to break the news to you, but I haven't really kept up with NWA Power.
What?
I haven't.
You love that show.
I do, but with the work that I have right now, I go in at midnight and I have to be in sleep around 3 or 4 o'clock. But I'm trying to catch up on YouTube. But I know one thing: Nick Aldis is making a heck of a statement with Ring of Honor and with the NWA. I mean, this man shows up more at Ring of Honor than he does with the NWA.
And I love it.
And I think it's perfect. I'm expecting, you know, I'm expecting a tag team to show up to the NWA any day now. And if I'm right, I know they signed with ROH again.
Oh, but I would love it.
If they are good enough, if NWA and Ring of Honor are smart enough, them boys will come out of the crowd or out of the curtain somewhere and attack the NWA champion, the tag team champions.
Yeah.
That would make everybody start jumping up and down. I'd love to see the Briscoe brothers in the NWA.
You and I agree.
Uh-huh.
The best tag team out there today
are the Briscoes.
The Dem Boys.
Dem Boys.
Dem Boys, the Briscoe brothers, entertaining, athletic, cut great promos. And what is it, Mark Briscoe, the one with
no teeth? I love Mark. Didn't you all see that on the internet? on the internet?
That man is so ugly that you could press his face in cookie dough and make gorilla cookies. That man is ugly.
He's ugly, but I tell you what, that
he
man,
go.
He's put his life and his body on the line from Ring of Honor. He's one of the best. These two guys are the best tag team I have seen in a long time. But, man, if they went to the NWA and they're in the Crockett Cup that's coming up.
I hope so.
Because last year they were disqualified.
Yeah, yeah.
From the Rock and Roll Express. Yeah. So
makes sense.
Makes sense if these boys, them boys, get the Crockett Cup this year.
You know, already there has been a tag team from ROH making appearances on NWA, and that is the Bouncers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. they've been on there and done really good job. I'm liking the fact that these two promotions are working together, and I'm also liking the fact that they took the belt off of PCO and put it back on Rouge.
I was happy for that, but now PCO is going after the NWA world title. He's going after Nick Aldis, but Marty still got his shot at the Crockett Cup. I think that's it. But you know good and dang well they're not going to let that man have the NWA title.
Well,
that's a joke.
You never know how they're going to put and what kind of research they're going in to see, you know, if the fans would like it, if they're going to buy merch. And there's all kinds of different things underneath. But I'm not a big PCO fan, you know.
Never have been. Never will be.
And those that love PCO, hey, more power to you. But as we always say, we can disagree, but we can also agree to disagree. So I'm just not a big fan of his, but I love the villain. And I don't know if you saw this or not, or recognized it, on All Elite Wrestling Saturday night, Hangman Adam Page did a move in the ring that is the villain's. He did where he does the little twirl and jumps up and goes for the chicken wing in the crowd. To me, that was a shout out to Marty.
Yeah.
To say, hey, come work with us or everything's cool because they're all good friends. The Bucks and Marty Scurll are just best of friends. So
I could see Marty going over there, but I think what Marty wants to do is try to revive. So he's trying to revive Ring of Honor and he's trying to get the NWA back to where it used to be. And those two, Nick Aldis and Marty, they can tear the house down. They're going to do it at the Crockett Cup. We all know this.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that I can get that pay-per-view too. I'm
gonna, the Crockett Cup is going to be very, very interesting.
I'll beg
year.
My wife. I'll say, remember when you told me I could have the one at All Elite?
Yeah.
I sure was like, oh, please.
I tell you what you do. I'll even eat a cheeseburger. No, I'm joking.
No, I won't. I will not eat a cheeseburger. I can eat a burger without the cheese, but no cheeseburger. But, yeah, I'm loving the NWA. I still love the NWA. Trevor Murdoch has got the crowd going behind him. And the question mark. I don't know how much longer that's going to run. They'll probably do something with Shooter Aaron Stevens with his third degree belt, maybe turning on the question mark. That would be interesting.
That would be.
Yeah, and they've got some real talent. And
the team,
yeah.
the new TV champion, Aaron Steve. I mean, oh shoot, what's his name? The television champion.
Oh, Stroke Daddy, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, he's a good performer.
Yeah, he is, and that belt looks real good on him. I'm glad that they gave it to him. Yeah. He needs it. So the NWA's doing well. I mean, they've got great commentary now. The women's division is hot
is great.
Yeah, the women's division is hot as it ever has been. I'm loving the storyline between I can't remember that girl's name to save my rear end.
Thunder Rosa and
Thunder
Melina.
Rosa and Melina. How can you forget that kind of a name?
Ooh, yeah.
That's on stripper poles everywhere. No, I'm just joking. Sorry. But she knows how to do the splits. I didn't know legs could go that far.
Oh my, but, I'm getting the vapors just thinking about it. Getting the vapors.
Yes. Oh yes. Oh, I never knew Southern men could be so this way. I need to stop. You know, I feel like I'm back in Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
You know? No, it's good for the NWA. I'm loving every minute of it. I've got to catch up on some, right? Like I said, I haven't really done much because I've been so freaking busy. I've been so busy. But no, WWE, you did fine. Well, no, you didn't. It went down the toilet. AEW, you just knocked it out of the park. NWA, you do fine. And Ring of Honor, keep it up. And TNA, I don't care. don't care.
You know, the problem, I honestly wish I could watch them. I just don't have really good access to them.
You're not missing much.
Well, yeah, I did watch a little bit on Fight TV, and they had, it was like a two-week-old show, I think it was, and it was good. I enjoyed it, but...
The only thing that you're missing is Rob Van Dam's love story. That's it.
And I'm not a Rob Van Dam fan, so...
No, I'm not a Rob Van Dam fan at all. I was in the WWE... But not anymore. He's not Rob Van Dam. He's Rob Dam Fag. I can't stand that voice, and I just can't stand him.
Yeah.
But other than TNA, okay, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It's
not TNA anymore. Remember.
Oh, it's Impact.
Impact.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's Impact. So sorry.
Impact.
But that's it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, go ahead.
Anything else you want to be talking about on this particular podcast?
Well, I'm going to see if I can catch up on New Japan and see what's going on with them. Other than that, there's not really much else to say. We've had some good comments on the Facebook page. All the fans there have been commenting and putting in pages and talking about things, and I like it. Keep it up, guys. Ask questions. Tell us some things that you love about wrestling.
Yeah.
We want to hear all about it.
Yeah, we do. So.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris, we'll let you go on this particular edition of Turnbuckle Trash. We'll be back in a couple of weeks around the time of the Elimination Chamber.
All right.
Yeah, well, that probably be a letdown too. So
no, it's going to be a letdown as usual, like Wendy's are when you have their burgers.
Yeah,
it's a letdown.
And you know, I think it was last year, the little picture I put with the podcast. I took a Johnny on the job and said, this is a real Elimination Chamber. But
Well, this is to my buddy Zane. Just remember one thing, a three-pointer, just a three-pointer. Remember, it was the goodbye shot. I had to post that on his Facebook page, the goodbye shot from Jordan. And he gave me a shot too, but we can't tell this on the show right now what it was. There was no push-off.
There was.
No, it wasn't. No. All right, guys. I had a blast as usual, and we'll see you again on the podcast one more time.
Okay. Thank you, man.
No problem. Anytime.
Thanks again, Christopher Evans. You know what's coming up next, don't you? It's more of Zane O'Mac on Turnbuckle Trash.
That was on his feet, the Stray Cat. Is he ready? Oh. Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you.
Tag me, please!
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here, it's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so...
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
You know, Dave, you are a man of many talents. You're a chef, a radio announcer, a dancer, a male escort. I mean, so many things, Dave. So many things that you do in your spare time, as well as a professional wrestling master.
Yes. Yes, I am. Hey, by the way, before I forget, I want to congratulate the guys at DCW in Salt Lake City, where this Saturday, March the 7th, not only are they having an event at the Gateway, which I'm hoping to be there, and I hope you can be there.
Absolutely.
And they're having a live event, but they're also at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, their very own TV program is going to show on the CW30 in Salt Lake City. Isn't that great?
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I that is honestly a story right there that intrigues me, I think, the most about DCW. Manny Lemons is Manny has taken, you know, to do you remember that show with, was it Tropic Thunder with Will Ferrell?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, owner, player, coach, Jackie Moon.
Yeah.
That's like Manny. Uh-huh. He's the owner of the company. He's champion of the company. And he's the booker of the company. And he's, I mean, how cool is that, right?
Yeah. He's putting his heart and soul into this. And that's why I want to support him as much as possible. And he's a great guy, you know? He really is.
Oh, he's fantastic. I mean, my kid loves him. Is Manny Lemons going to be there? Cool. Yes, he is. He just thinks that that's the greatest thing in the world.
That's awesome. And they'll also be repeating at 1 o'clock on Saturday mornings. And our friend Trent Hunsaker is the one that does the videotaping. And they have somebody come in to do the post post-production, and I'm hoping to get Trent on with us, if not on this podcast, on the next one, to talk about the filming and the lighting and some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that wrestling fans don't usually get to see, you know?
Oh, how great about. Would that yeah. be? How great would that
yeah.
be?
I got a message into awesome. Him. I hadn't heard anything yet, so.
Oh, well, he's a busy guy.
Yeah, he is.
So, well, gosh, Dave, what else? What else is going on? So we had Super Letdown.
Uh-huh.
We've got – and we're on the road to WrestleMania. AEW is doing well. What's going on with Power?
NWA Power, their announced team with Stu Bennett, you know, with controversy with Jim Cornette. Stu's doing a great job, the former Wade Barrett. You know, he's – and every once in a while he'll get a little dig in there. You know, he'll say – some of that, you know, I got some bad news or something like that. He'll get a little
That's
dig
great.
In there. Nick Aldis is still the champ. They're working closely with the guys at ROH. And some
yeah,
of the
that's
ROH
really neat. Like with yeah. With Mike Marty Scroll has uh-huh. made an appearance
yeah.
on
uh-huh.
NWA. And there's been Nick Aldis made an appearance on ROH, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And then the Bouncers have mm-hmm. made it onto NWA TV. And Chris and I were discussing, boy, I tell you what, if I find out them boys, the Briscoes, come in for the Crockett Cup or something, I might have to buy the Crockett Cup this year on pay-per-view.
Oh.
Because I love the Briscoes and their tag team, and I am loving what the NWA is doing right now. They're doing what they're strong with, you know, and then – They'll build and build. I like it.
Oh, that's so awesome. You know, and what else is great to see with something like the NWA is somebody like Nick Aldis, who is so good and, you know, couldn't find his way in another promotion. And here he is holding the 10 pounds of gold and doing such a great job with it.
Oh, yeah.
I love stuff like that. Like Jake Hagar, John Moxley. I think that sometimes the WWE, that it's like, okay, good luck out there. Don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out. And then something like Drew McIntyre, when they say that to him, and he goes to TNA and he goes to other places and gains popularity and dials in ring skills and mic skills, and they're like, oh,
Hey, kid, remember us? We're your friends over here at WWE. Huh? Yeah. What if you want to come back home? By the way, you treated me? I don't know. Should I come home? We'll give you lots of money. Okay.
You know who got his future endeavors today?
Huh.
He just didn't renew his contract with Matt Hardy.
Oh.
And there's been a lot of talk about Matt Hardy possibly being the leader of the Dark Order on All Elite. I don't care one way or the other. You know, make your bucks. Get a good storyline going. I like it. Then I have to say one more thing about this All Elite page, okay?
Oh, Facebook. Sure.
Got to say this. Yeah. When you said the stuff about the former people, making a good in other companies, there was actually some doofus that said, yeah, John Moxley is now the champion of All Elite. Can they not just get somebody from the company that hasn't been in the WWE before to be their champion? And I'm starting to go, let's talk here, guys. Think about this. In the biggest stars right now in the WWE, AJ Styles, the Good Brothers, you go over to NXT, Undisputed Era with Adam Cole and all those guys, Samoa Joe. What do they all have in common? Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So give me a break. If you don't know what you're talking about, shut up.
Oh, 100%. But yet, the next, I recall, what was it when AEW is starting? They're like, who are half these people?
Exactly.
You know, they should bring in some WWE guys so they can get some name recognition. We don't know who Jungle Boy is. I don't have any idea. Who's Jungle Boy? We should have a WWE guy in there.
You can't please these idiots. I mean, you can't please these people.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's different about our podcast is we give praise when it's deserved, and then we reserve our ire, but we explain it and then say it's our opinion. That's one of the difference we have.
So many other podcasts I've listened to, they're WWE podcasts, and they just get on there and they're like, just watched Raw, and it's a couple guys talking. It sucked. I would have done this better and this better and this better and this better. And I think you lose interest in it.
Right.
Because WWE is not the end-all be-all. It's not just them. There's other promotions out there. There's other places out there. There's other talent out there. And see, that right there, Dave, is why I feel like a broken record because I say this literally every podcast. That is precisely why I love things like Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, why I love our independence here in Utah with UCW Zero, and especially Devotion Championship Wrestling, FSW out of Vegas. There is so much more wrestling out there than your mind can comprehend. It's not just the WWE. That's why the MK Bandit says there's WWE fans and there's wrestling fans.
Right. Hey, did you hear the interview I did with MK on my radio program when he was
talking about yes.
It?
Yes, I well, you know, Dave, you talk about a breath of fresh air. How awesome it was to tune into you that morning via the interweb. And it was like, Al Lewis on the news, Dr. Dave Fenton on the radio. It's my moment of town.
But you know, he was talking about he and Sam Adonis are going to be spending a lot of time in Mexico, doing stuff in the Mexico in the Mexican wrestling lucha stuff. And he was talking about that. He's also doing his own podcast. And we want to thank him for letting us be a part of that every once in a while, talking about it, which he's talking about wrestlers and raising funds for the old-time wrestlers that need just a hand up. That's what they do. And he does this about once a week. And anytime he posts that he's doing it, we're going to put it right on our Facebook page so people can support this great cause. And what a great guy the MK Bandit is. He's the heel. Don't get me wrong. He is a heel, and he is a heel manager, but a great guy.
Boy, that's kind of like freezer burn, Dave. No, you know, there's a lot going on right now, Dave. There's so much wrestling out there and so much great, great stuff. And it's very exciting. I've never been so excited to be a wrestling fan. The Monday Night Wars was a fun time to be a wrestling fan.
It was.
You know, WWE versus WCW, but that door has long since closed.
Exactly.
And we, as wrestling fans, for a long time wondered, what are we going to have next? What are we going to have next? But yet, all this time, there's been so much more wrestling out there. But because of the advancement of the internet, social media, things like that, it's allowed people like you and me to get to just experience other promotions, and to where we just almost forget to talk about the Monday Night Wars and stuff because it's not relevant anymore today.
Oh, but there's people on the Real Wrestling webpage and stuff that they want it to be. The only thing they talk about is, I miss the Monday Night Wars. Hey, enjoy the Monday Night Wars, but it is, like you said, it's history. It's history. By the way, I want to give a shout-out to Vice TV or Viceland TV. They're doing Season 2 of The Darker Side of Wrestling. And evidently, from what Manny Lemons put on our Facebook page, that Vince Russo might be a part of that. And he's got, now Vince is now being very involved in what's going on in DCW. And he should be there this Saturday, too. So,
how cool is that? You know, Vince... Some people love him or hate him. The guys at DCW have nothing but praise him. And I think that's great.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a name that big to be involved with a little Utah and a little Utah promotion. How cool is that? I'm so excited for Manny, and I can't wait to see him this Saturday and see how things are going with DCW it's going to be fun.
And hopefully we'll be able to grab a couple of the wrestlers before or after and do some quick interviews with them. I mean, I'd love to talk to Marlon Bishop again and Bruce Wayans and Tombstone and the Brother Smith, Andrew Sowell, the Pineapple Clad, Tom Chad. I got to see these guys. They're great performers. I love them, man.
And I love the fact how they have put their social medias into – how they've been promoting the company and how they've been getting their digs at each other. And I love Andrew so well when Tombstone Jesus posts something and he's like, old stone geezer or Tombstone geezer. Or I don't know what he calls him. And he's always digging at him. He's always digging at him. And I think that's so funny.
Yeah. And you know, he had a picture. I think it might've been Rika that had him in a strength hold, you know, where they do the wrist hold. Uh-huh. And it looks like Andrew is in pain, and he posted that, no, he really just had to sneeze. So I put it on there. It is the cold and flu season, you know.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I love his championship. The Andrew Sowell's championship bell is just – awesome.
Yeah, with the masking tape and
the masking tape and the marker.
I love it.
Oh, how so fun. How fun.
They are having fun. They are going about things the right way, trying to build slow. And then, by the way, you know, you mentioned UCW Zero, and these guys are moving to a new location themselves. I'm not exactly 100% sure where it will be. I'm thinking it's the 810 Plaza, if that means anything. But they did post on their Facebook page that they were going to move. They put on a great – we don't want to say – I've put in a message to them. I hadn't heard anything, wanting to get one of their guys on with us, but I hadn't heard anything back yet. So we wish them the best too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you got to wish for people to succeed.
Exactly.
If you wish for failure, then what's to say your promotion or your company won't fail?
Yeah, that's true.
And it's about support and supporting the community and support within promotions. Mm-hmm. Dave, it's been a great conversation. It's been a great topics, I think, today.
All right, it's been fun catching you up, and you catch me up on things, and I catch you up on things, and it's just it's a lot of fun doing this podcast, and we don't do it to make money. We don't do it, but for the love of what we do in professional wrestling, and I thank you, my man.
Well, Dave, thanks again, and Dave, all the fans and all the followers out there. That we talk about the behind the scenes, and this isn't your average podcast. This isn't two guys yakking on a microphone and then throwing it online. We're talking to a radio producing veteran here. Dave takes the time to edit things, to tweak things, to add things, to add music, to add drops, to add stuff. And Dave, that takes so much of your time, and whereas we could just dump it online and call it a show. And I think that is such a great part of our podcast. It's like our very own radio show because of the way that you produce things.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I want to take pride in what we do, and if I thought we weren't putting out a at least an entertaining product, I wouldn't want to be a part of it.
Great, Dave. Yeah. Well, Dave, thank you again for everything. You do a great job. And if you come in contact with Chris, you just tell him that I traded in my diapers for the pants.
Okay. Oh, he's going to tear you a new one the next time.
I can't wait. I love Chris. Yeah. Chris, thanks for being a part of the podcast, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, man.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Have a great night.
Okay, talk to you later.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Is every edition of Turnbuckle Trash is a special edition?
Fine and dandy.
We got to change hats here.
What the blueberry hell is going on with Goldberg?
We had Goldberg. And then we had the underflaker.
I have seen the light with freshly squeezed orange Cassidy.
Gore!
I think she's had them surgically removed.
I can't remember that girl's name to save my rear end. No, I thought it was something like the Fortress of Solitude, the crystals that keep Superman from dying.
Probably sitting in their underwear in their parents' basement, eating Hot Pockets.
That's kind of like freezer burn, Dave. You know, Dave, you are a man of many talents. You're a chef, a radio announcer, a dancer, a male escort. I mean...
That man is Yugly.
Remember us?
He's the only youngest champion you ever had.
Friends, I am now a freshly squeezed.
I traded in my diapers for the pants.